The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond. The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Less screen time, more playtime. Pause the internet with our new Sky Broadband Buddy app.
Yeah, text machine now melted. Could somebody call IT? It is a big response to our competition this morning. So that's a good sign. Keep trying. 51551. Our call might be even easier. 1850-715-900. Stephen Foley, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you today?
Very, very well. And thank you for joining us on the programme this morning. To paint a picture, would you tell us about the famous, very famous photograph that we're going to talk about now from Iwo Jima?
Okay. In February 1945, the U.S. Marines invaded the island of Iwo Jima, which was held by the Japanese. It's actually considered part of their homeland.
Yeah.
So they were going to fight tooth and nail to hold this island, and it turned out to be an extremely bloody battle. Instead of taking just a few days, it took 36 days of terrible fighting for the Americans to prevail. Mm. But the battle itself is most famous for producing an image of six Marines raising the American flag on the fifth day of the battle on the highest point on the island. And this photograph caused such a sensation in the United States that the public and President Roosevelt demanded that the people who raised it should be returned home, and they would send them on a publicity tour to raise funds for the war. Now, a couple of weeks after the photograph had been taken and had appeared in American newspapers, the battle was still raging, so it was very difficult to determine who was actually involved.
Yeah.
A couple of the participants had already been killed in action, and they eventually started to get some names, and they ended up returning three people to the United States to go on this bond tour.
Three of the six who had put this. I mean, if you haven't seen the photo, you'll know it when you see it. Mm-hmm. It's one of those, as you say, iconic pictures. So yeah. Three of the six they located and brought back. Is that right?
Three of the supposed six they brought back. Yeah.
Yes,
and they sent them on this bond tour.
And the other three were.
One had actually been misidentified, and two had been killed.
Okay, and that leaves us with three sort of bona fide members of the team. And this is what you say, supposed, and this is that's a critical word, Stephen, because now begins the detective work and the kind of tracing the steps back, going, because for 70 years or thereabouts, you've had these the men who put that flag into the ground have been kind of lionized by historians and by American militaria, if you like, to as a totem for the best of the Marine.
Absolutely, yeah. It's an iconic photograph, and it's something that they've used ever since to, I guess, inspire people to continue to join the Marine Corps. But also, it stands as a symbol of victory in the Pacific in World War II. So it's very important to the Marine Corps and the American people in general.
Now, you're from Wexford.
I am indeed, yeah.
And isn't Wexford the site of a famous Navy Irish connection?
Yes, indeed, yeah. Quite apart from being the home place of President Kennedy, it's also the birthplace of John Barry, who was the first Commodore of the United States Navy.
So it's quite a nice connection with you. Are you an amateur historian or are you a full-time historian? What's your background?
Just an amateur historian, Ryan.
Really?
I work for a builders providers just outside Wexford.
Oh, even better! Providers. That's tremendous. Yeah. And how? When did you first raise an eyebrow in terms of this photograph and your curiosity?
Well, I've always been interested in the whole topic, and particularly this battle. But about 6 years ago, in 2013, I happened to read a book that I had bought some years previous to that. I had never really paid attention to it. And there was a photograph in it that I had never really seen before. And it's a photograph that has probably never been seen by most people.
Yeah.
It was taken by the same photographer who took the famous photograph. His name was Joe Rosenthal, and he worked for the Associated Press. And unlike his famous photograph, in which you can't see any of their faces, this photograph you could see one guy. And the thing that struck me was the person that I was now looking at was not who it should have been. So I got an enlargement from the Associated Press and I did a lot of research and discovered that the person who should have been there was not actually in the famous photograph.
Right, so we're now dealing with a case of misidentity.
Yeah. I mean, it was a difficult thing for me to have to say because it's you're either calling somebody a liar or maybe it's just a case of mistaken identity. So I contacted the Marine Corps and I said to him, look, I've got some research and I want to send it to you. They never got back to me because they thought I was probably a crank. So I ended up contacting a guy who had a website dedicated to the 5th Marine Division. Mm-hmm. And I shared my research with him. In 2014, we managed to get this story into a paper in America, in the Omaha World Herald. And it caused quite a stir when it came out because, it really showed that we were, in fact, right. But it wasn't taken on board by the Marine Corps because they didn't really want to accept that something had been wrong for all these years.
And but, the man, Stephen, that you identified, he was in the photograph, according to history, as John Bradley. He was, John Bradley was the man who took the, if you like, the claim and the credit for it. I'm not trying to disparage him. We'll get to that in a moment. But the actual person that we were looking at for all these years was Harold Henry Schultz, who died in 1995, a private first class officer from Marine guy from Detroit.
Yeah.
And he was the actual person in the picture, but John Bradley was the man who thought he was in the picture, or at least got the credit for it.
Yeah, so, well,
yep.
John Bradley, they thought was this guy. It turns out where John Bradley was supposed to be in the photograph is another guy called Franklin Sousley.
Okay, yeah.
And he had been killed during the battle. And where they thought Sousley was, actually turns out this was Harold Schultz.
Right.
And he was wounded on Iwo Jima. He was evacuated, returned to the US after the war, and had never said anything about being involved in this photograph. He never married until late in life. He was in his 60s by the time he got married. He never spoke about it until one occasion late he admitted to being a flag raiser. But they never thought much of it. Now, in 2015, the person who I had originally been researching this with was working with a TV documentary crew, and they made a program about John Bradley's omission from the photograph and how Harold Schultz was involved in it. Now, I wasn't involved in that TV program because they just used my research and did it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But this prompted the Marine Corps to carry out their own investigation in 2016. And in May of that year, then they decided that John Bradley would have to be removed from the lineup officially. They would have to reconfigure the lineup to now show that Private Sousley was now where John Bradley was thought to be. And PFC Schultz was now where Sousley was thought to be.
So this would lead to kind of awkward enough conversations. First of all, you've got two people who've been praised as big figures in this moment in history, and their families who would take that credit as well, have to be told, I'm sorry, we got the wrong guy. And equally, the families of the people who were in fact involved have to be told, well, we've got some kind of good news in the sense that it's yours. And has the record been corrected now? Is it thanks to your detective work?
The record was corrected in 2016 to include Harold Schultz and remove John Bradley.
Well, congratulations to you. I mean, that is an extraordinary piece of Sherlock Holmes-like, as I say, detection and deduction. Yeah. And I understand your wife is now happy that you've completed your research because she has been missing you for a number of years due to your very, very keen observation of this flag and the story. Is that right?
She's something of a war widow, I guess you could call her.
In a manner of speaking.
You must remember, the latest news actually is that they made another mistake, so we've recorrected that one. And this is just only broke within the last couple of days.
That being what, another misidentity? On the same flag?
On the same flag, but
it's funny how the passage of time, like a lot of people, I don't know if you've heard Malcolm Gladwell's podcast, Revisionist History, and if you haven't, get busy because you'll love it. And it just looks at things like statues and moments in history and says, wait a minute, look a bit closer, because that's one of the lessons of history, is that it's like a rock being worn down by erosion. It becomes this kind of clean, smooth thing ultimately. But in reality, it was never clean and never smooth. It was gnarly and difficult.
Absolutely. I mean, what this really shows, I suppose, is that our understanding of history can change. It should never be too late, actually, to correct history either. The Marine Corps have very graciously accepted that their history is so important to them that they have thanked all of us involved who tried to correct the record for them. The most important thing really is that I think they've got it right this time, and this will be the final word on it. But the most amazing thing about the latest development is that, unlike Harold Schultz, who was something of a loner, I guess, the latest person to be identified in the photograph returned home, raised a family, said nothing to no one.
Yes.
They had some inklings about it, but he didn't talk about the war.
As so many of them didn't.
Yes, absolutely, and understandably so.
Was that photo, a question from the listener, was the photo of the Marines posed, as there was no photographer there when the flag was originally raised?
No, that's
a myth.
A misconception.
Interesting,
yeah.
Okay.
The first flag that was raised a couple of hours previous to the second flag, there are some photographs of that. It wasn't posed. It was purely a replacement flag. And there is evidence through motion picture footage and also another photograph of the second flag being raised as the first one is taken down. It was done simultaneously.
Stephen, it's a great old yarn, and congratulations on your part in that story. As you say, you work in C&D Builders Providers in Wexford, but you obviously have this enormous interest in history, and not just local history, but international, and you've changed history in many ways, or rather corrected it. So well done, and thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank
nice
you very much.
Nice to talk
much.
To you, Stephen. Best of luck with those.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
A fellow history nerd there joining us on the line from Wexford and knows his stuff. They're telling me outside that the machine is in overdrive with our toy show ticket giveaway, so we'll get to all of that shortly.